Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!
Listen to the Other Woman Show. This is Funny Mummies. Hello. This was what you were meant to be hearing at the beginning of the show. But never mind. We'll get to what that song was all about later. Hello. What can you hear now? You can hear my voice. It's Hattie Ashdown, comedian and mum. And you, lucky sods, have just made the best choice of your day. This is the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. So, I'm going to turn the old Doris down a little bit because she's so beautiful. It's put me off. How's your day? How's your week been? We hope the next hour will be a bit of a laugh, maybe an escape, or maybe just some kind of solidarity in this crazy parenting lark. So, what about my morning? I got woken up this morning at 6 a.m, which I know I shouldn't complain about. That's not too bad, but there you go. By a little face squashed up to mine. Say, Mummy, can I have Weetabix? Mummy, can I look at photos? So I let him look at photos on my phone, thus developing his narcissism, just so I can get another 7 minutes in bed. And then, it's all go, go, go. So I tried to get them both fed. My baby does not like breakfast. He's like some kind of supermodel or something. And then quickly wiping down any snot or whatever on my 3.5-year-old school jumper. Don't worry, he's not like a genius. He's at preschool, but they have to wear uniforms. So I'm wiping the snot off the cuffs. Do you do all this? I bet you do. To get him off to school. And then I take the baby to a class. It's called Smart Club. And basically, to ease my guilt of doing sod all classes with the second baby, they make a mad rush to pack two meals, milk, snacks, blanket, clothes, and that's just my bag for the day, am I right? And of course nappies, still my bag. And I've bought the wrong size, so he's going off to the childcare with small nappies that keep coming off. And and then upstairs, if you're thinking you've got no help, Hattie, it's because my poor overworked husband is upstairs working away like Bob Cratchit, as his partner that he works with, he's on a month's paternity leave. Bloody modern world. So he's doing a lot of work. So then I rush to take the baby to the childcare. Let's stop. We don't want the next one. It's going to ruin all our choices. So where was I? I rush to the baby to take to childcare. It's a 20-minute walk if I do the long way round, right, with the buggy. But then if I do the short walk, which is about 10 minutes, I've got to go over a bridge. And it's a big railway bridge. So I'm like, fingers crossed, there's going to be some teenagers snogging there that I get to help me. They don't offer. I just say, oi, help me. There wasn't. So then I have to bump the baby up each step because I can't carry the buggy because I've done my back in two pregnancies. So then I drop him off screaming because he's not very happy. And then he does that thing of clinging to me like I'm handing him over to be adopted. And I'm going to pick him up 20 years later. And then, thus, I don't know if anyone else has this, but then I run down the road and it goes in a sequence of, oh God, will it be okay? Shall I text them now? Shall I just text Alex to say, go and get him? 30 seconds later, coffee please, latte and vanilla. And I skip onto the escalator going, yippee! I don't have to find a lift. I haven't got a buggy. I can go up and down the escalator. And that brings me to my topic today of childcare. And you'll be happy to know it's not just me yabbering on. As always, I'm joined by other funny mummies. So I should introduce them now. Have we got their mics up? Already done, mate. is, first up, it's a comedian, a mum, and original host of Comedy Virgins. She'll kill for a cuppa.
and have killed for a cuppa.
She has killed. Sorry, I should have put that. And fun fact, you might not know, she's partial to getting her shellacs done. And she loves a bit of a course, but she's stopped doing courses now. She says, no, I've had enough. And she's a regular on this show. And she's also just told me some other great news that she's had, but we'll get to that later. It's Gemma Beagley.
Hello.
Hi.
She's here. Next, it's actor and writer. I've written my notes wrong. Anyway, I know her, so I don't even know why I'm looking. You'd have seen her on Miranda, A Catastrophe, and Motherland, and most recently The Hustle, and John Finnemore's Souvenir Programme, which is a radio show and a theatre show. Mm. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
On tour in the autumn.
Is it?
Yeah.
I can't read my writing here. But most importantly, she also starred alongside me in Don't Sell the Tiger. She's a mum of two. I haven't got a new fun fact about Margaret because I haven't seen her for a while. It's just still that she hates tidying up. It's Margaret Caborn Smith.
Hi. Hi. Do you still hate tidying up?
Do you?
Yeah.
I always think of you
when you tidy up.
Yeah. When the cleaner comes, and we've bored people with the cleaner chat.
You're obsessed.
Margaret, Gemma thinks I'm obsessed. We've already
with
chatted.
The cleaner.
No, we're talking about
cleaners.
Working class guilt of having a cleaner. But every time my cleaner comes, I think of you where you say, like, within 10 minutes, it's like they've never been because it's just all messy again.
Yeah, yeah. No, you only do it so you have a deadline to get the house tidy. That's
so
what
true.
You do. Yeah. My
it's
cleaner
so
was
true.
Sort of, when I briefly had a cleaner, she
you
was
stopped
pretty
that.
Rubbish. Yeah, she left and then, that guilt, that... It's rubbish, isn't it? It's so stupid because if you need to get stuff done, you don't feel bad about people coming in to,
fix
your toilets or the blue jobs, but it's the pink jobs you feel guilty about.
Well, it's because, as Gemma said, and she's probably about to say it and I'm cutting her off, but it's because it's something that we can do.
Mm.
But in my case,
but
not.
If your time... Yeah, exactly. If time is... But, you pay women to... And men to look after your kids.
Yeah.
If you need your time is,
exactly.
Anyway,
I literally could just have a podcast called Working Class Guilt.
The B-side to Marie Kondo's Tidying Up.
I've started doing a bit of Marie Kondo. Have you been inspired?
Oh, my mum needs it in her life, but I just love her so much.
Yeah.
She's so sweet.
I'm
so happy. She's just lovely.
I love that bit when they sort of pray to the house.
Yeah.
It makes me a bit calm. That's like my only meditation of the day, watching her pray to the house. Do you know what we're talking about?
I do know. I've read the book. I haven't seen the program.
She is just...
In the program, she goes, I like to... I'm not going to do it.
No,
it's difficult to know. It's difficult to know if to do it or not.
I know. It adds,
But she...
Don't eat that cookie.
While I read that book, I just thought, until the kids are a bit older, I'm just not going to be able to do this.
Well, I started and it was a stupid idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
have it in your head.
Why am I trying to do it with a 10-month-old and a 3.5? I got all the boxes out, did what she did, which is to chuck it all out, put it on the bed, and then it just stayed there.
Yeah.
And also, also, in terms of kids, I know that when I've tried to chuck some of my son's stuff out, I mean, the equivalent of me going... Alistair, does this bring you joy? This broken piece of plastic, does this bring you joy? Yes, this brings me... Yes, it sparks joy. Yes, it does. So they're not going to be any help. Because everything sparks joy.
It's true. Yeah.
Although it's good. Now my son, my 4-year-old, has started to, rather than tidy up, say, that can all go in the charity box.
Does he?
Yes. It is, but I know that he would kick off if I really gave away all of the stuff he said I could.
Well,
the worst time was when my daughter saw a big bus that I'd sort of stolen and given to a charity shop, and she saw it in the window of a charity shop, and she went,
"You're going to say,
yeah?"
That.
And she went, "Oh, I've got one of those," and I was like, "No, you don't."
Oh, really? Oh, bless yeah. her.
But she did, to be fair, she forgot about it. You know, there was no repercussion. She didn't come home and go, right, where's that bus?
You have to buy back the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
to buy it twice.
I would have done if I thought she really loved it. But it's like, no, she's got no. so
it's hard because I guess you're meant to be teaching them at like being honest with them. But I mean, how old is she?
Well, yeah. She's 10 now. Yeah, she was probably about. But that's, three
I mean,
or four
I was
then.
Like 11, 12, no, 12, I think, when my mum was basically trying to make me get rid of my Cindy house. Massive yeah, Cindy house, yeah. all the Cindys. And she said, you know, we'll put it in, this is back in the day, let's put it in loot. And then you'll get some money and you, and she made me do all the hard
work. Yeah, okay. yeah.
You know, like they gave.
Fiscal learning.
Yeah. 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 My, which you can tell us more about Gemma later. But it's never stopped, it stayed with me forever.
It still hurts.
I regret.
Do you?
I
regret.
Think I was too young. But I was really happy to do it at
did
that
you, you sold it?
I sold it.
How much did you get for it?
20 quid.
Do you know what? How old were you?
How old was I?
Yeah.
About 12.
£20 when you're 12. I mean, that's a lot
it's
of
a lot
money.
Of money. Yeah, 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 yeah. So I was
do
happy.
Do you remember what you did with it?
But then like a couple of... No, probably just bought sweets.
But, that's a lot of sweets.
You know, like a year or so later when you go through that phase of like, I'm a teenager, but I sort of still want my dolls.
Yeah. Well, no, my daughter came, my the 10-year-old came in and said, honestly in tears, and said, Mummy, I think I've grown out of, I'm growing out of my soft toys. Aww. And she was devastated.
Oh,
but it was really weird because I was like, well, you don't, I said, you don't have to give them away. And she was like, I know. I said, do you want to give them away? And she was like, I don't know. She was just, I think it's that sudden realization that you're moving on, but you're not quite
like
ready to
symbol.
Go, oh yeah,
like
God, I don't care about them. Oh, yeah. She
does
care.
It's the symbolism of growing it's, older.
Exactly.
And yeah,
she
yeah,
said,
sure.
I can't think of any, I can't think of what to do with them. And I was just, yeah, her. I know. She's going to have a hard life.
She's sensitive.
Of mental health issues. It's fine. It's
have
fine.
A will. Exactly. All creative people
exactly.
have.
Exactly.
So she's got a long career in creativity of some kind. Ooh, clever you. You're only listening to Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for The Other Woman Show in association with Screaming With Laughter, the original lunchtime comedy club where you can bring your sprogs too. Check out for the next show at www.screamingwithlaughter.com. So that brings me on to, in no way, to childcare.
Yeah.
So if I say childcare, what does it mean to you, ladies?
It means a constant guilty headache. Even when I don't need childcare, just the word makes me feel quite ill. I did a panto and I was in rehearsals for the panto when my husband was still on tour. And like it was like 4 weeks of basically not being there for the kids. And we don't have childcare in place. So it was basically, I mean, ad hoc doesn't really cover it. My daughter every morning would say, who's picking us up today?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was horrendous. And then I'd, you know, come home, make them dinner and collapse.
But little ones go to nursery or something, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yeah, and he has a childminder. From yeah, but he finished at 11:30, which is
right.
not
so
a
like
morning.
My like my preschool.
Oh my God, and it's just ruined whole year. Frankly. Yeah.
And also, when did 11:45 become a time to start or finish anything?
Yeah. If you're still saying good morning when you're picking them up, that's wrong. That is wrong. Unacceptable.
For those that maybe are listening with newborns or something, don't know what the hell we're talking about. So if you can, when they're about three, send them to preschool, which is like Monday to Friday, or put them in like a private nursery, which you do whatever hours you want. But we went for preschool because I thought he's going to be going to school this year. He's one of the young ones, and I thought it'd get him ready.
Yeah, same.
But God, like you, the sacrifice, the stress of trying to basically arrange
wrap around.
Someone.
I've just achieved nothing. You
wrap around.
of someone to pick him up. We've gone through, since he started, I think, three different childminders and... settings, that's the word they call it, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, childminders say setting. Have you not had childminders then?
No, I've had one childminder who does who picks up my son
right
from 11:30 and brings him back to pick up.
Okay. So how long does she have him for then?
It's sort of 3 hours, yeah.
Oh, not long then.
No.
That's all right then.
Most 3 hours, is it? Yeah, anyway. And she, the brilliant thing is, she was already doing that for someone else in the nursery. So I never have to feel bad about cancelling or, you know, she's just there. She's got a standing thing. And I mean, she is lovely, which is...
Oh, that's a bonus.
Likes her more than me, which is galling. But it's like, yes, seeing Marion.
See, I've never experienced... You know, I don't know if you... Have you either of you experienced the, you know... Either they don't like them or you don't like them.
Yes, yeah.
Have you? And what happened? What was the outcome?
We'll see.
So what do we look for?
Do you not like...
I'm doing this round the wrong way round.
Okay,
way, but
yeah.
What do we look for when you're going to, say, interview a childminder or a nursery or nanny? I mean, apart from just a pulse.
Availability.
Yeah, it depends how desperate you are. It depends at what stage you're looking.
That is me. That is, are you a convicted child molester? No, here, have my child. That is basically it.
I think
for me, I mean, we've had three and he's four. And for me, it's just really been about someone who's a mother already, actually, who...
Right.
Here is my child, and they're like, okay, rather than it being they're just going to take the child and...
They're not going to give you a lot of bother.
Exactly, and I'm not going to bother them either. I think I'm quite a good parent partner, or whatever they call it, partner, because it's just like, okay, we know what we're doing here, and, you know, I think that's what I look for. I don't like fuss.
Yes.
And I like... childminders that don't like fuss either.
Yes, you've hit the nail on the head.
I think that's what it is. But I mean, ease of it.
In some ways, that's true of any business, isn't it? Like, in some ways. And I'm absolutely with you. And I'm exactly the same. And
flexibility as well. Sorry, yeah.
That is the dream.
Yeah,
easygoing. It's been hard to find that. But
I was told we had, when we had movers, when we moved house, and I was really ashamed of the mess and some of what I was asking them to, you know, to carry. And we'll go, oh my God, that's so dusty and all of that. But it was really weird. Like when, and I was pregnant and miserable, and, you know, I actually told them before I told my daughter that I was pregnant, because I felt so guilty that I was sitting on my ass doing nothing.
Not lifting.
Yeah. But when he left, he said to me, I just want to say, I think you've got a really good attitude. And I was like, what does that mean? And I think what it means is people are generally a lot more fussy. You know, I think people are probably very, very, as you say, lots of, can you, you know, this is what you need to do, and really, really didactic about what they're asking to do. Whereas I was just like, I don't care. Can you just get it from there to there and unpack some of it and then leave me alone,
please? That's
good.
I think we're all on the same page and not being... Like, we want our child to be safe.
Of course.
Well, safe is the main thing.
You know, one horror story I heard was, and I'm sure you've got horror stories, was, so this cafe, another woman saw this in a cafe every day, and she recognised the kid. The cafe owner recognised the kid. And then realized, it was like, but he came in with a childminder. And of course, this childminder didn't know that they know this kid.
Yeah.
And she's just like, faced the kid to the wall and then just was on her phone.
To the wall.
Oh, no.
Not even a window.
No.
Not even a window.
Yeah.
Oh,
not
God.
Even their own phone.
But, you know, we don't want... Yeah, exactly. We don't want that, obviously. We want them to be safe. But also, I know my NCT lot, years ago now, but when we were all first looking, the stuff they were, like, going on about and having trials here and there, I was like, honestly, mate, you live in Dulwich, all of them are going to be fine.
Yeah, they're all going
to be fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I'd like to think I'm somewhere in the middle, not too fussy. I just get a feeling. It's about feeling.
Yeah, it is.
Like, and if you and your kids have a good feeling about them, then that's massive. And you haven't got that currently.
It's only till July. So this is like a 10-week thing. So I'm just like, do you know what?
Yeah, for the sake of it. Get through it. Yeah.
But what I would say is something about the first childminder we had, who now I consider a friend, actually. Mm. So she's adorable. And she was even good around illness and stuff like that, where she'd say, look, here are some rules. So, you know, if they have got a bad tummy, they've got to be cleared up for 12 hours or something, you know. The one thing that she wouldn't take him with, though, was conjunctivitis. Now, my son has just got a habit of picking his nose and just wiping it directly into his eye. So he's just one eye infection after another.
With one of these little charms.
So sometimes it gets to the stage where I was, you know, sort of scraping stuff out of his eye just to be able to get him to go to childcare. And
wow,
sending him with Naomi Campbell sunglasses.
Yeah, he's hungover.
Yeah,
too many sweets last night.
Massive red crusty eyes, and she'd been going, "Oh, the crust is back. Oh, is it? Oh, you know, terrible, terrible." But she'd take him a chicken pox. Weirdly, she'd take chicken pox, but crusty eye. No,
that's so funny.
What does she? Does she have? Does she have kids?
I think she's that thing of once the spots come out, it's the infected already. So you know,
is conjunctivitis? It is one of those things.
It's the
passy
thing. Yeah, sure. He's disgusting. What can I say?
Yeah. No, I remember my daughter when she was really sort of before she could talk, waking up and going, I can't see. Feeling like the worst going in. But it must have been terrifying.
Exactly.
So waking
opens
up
your eyes
and
like,
going,
mum,
can't open her eyes. You know.
Mums, quick duck to the toilet for a 10-second break.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
As children, did we, any of us, I mean, I, old school, never went, wasn't looked after by any,
anyone.
Mum left me.
Yeah, exactly.
In the garden.
You go to the park and when it gets dark, you come home. There you go. That was my childcare.
Just don't cross the road. Although the nearest thing I had was sitting on the lap of an old lady when my mum was cleaning her house. You know,
right.
that was it. And
yeah.
She was horrible. Yeah. Really old woman who would say, do you know how to read? And I go, no, I didn't know I had dyslexia. And she'd go, next time, if you read that page for me, I'll give you £1. And I was petrified.
Wow. I was petrified of going to my auntie's, my dad's sister, who was just this old cockney. And she'd say, come here, let me brush your hair. Because I had knotty hair. And I'd think, no,
worst.
Please don't. Come here, I'll brush the knots out your hair. She was like, George's Marvellous Medicine, like the grandma.
Yeah.
No, please, don't take me to auntie's.
Every time I brush my daughter's hair, I feel like I'm torturing her. And I really try. I really, really try not to hurt her. But she's going, and you do. You feel like proper witch.
I feel like that, and I got a boy with not even that long now. Where'd it come? Margaret, did you have any?
No, same old school, like proper brought up by an accountant and a housewife. I mean, it couldn't be. That's the weird thing. Like this, the modern day, it's much rarer. I mean, particularly in our line of work, it's just much more higgledy piggledy, isn't it? There's no sort. Well, actually, there are loads more than we think. People where the man goes to work and the woman doesn't. Like, I don't know about you, but it's almost all mums pick up and drop off. It's like a tiny percentage of dads. I always try to be super encouraging to the dads
Do
that
you?
Are there. Yeah.
Oh, they're treated like an absolute superstar.
Hell,
the time. Yeah. It's like, look at the dad.
And it makes them like 50% hotter.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
yeah. I can say that now.
Yeah,
you are very attractive if you're on the school run.
On Mondays at gymnastics, when they go into gymnastics, this is a 3.5-year-old, not the baby, and we just get to have a coffee, wait outside, because we have to stay there. We're not allowed to leave in case they want a toilet. We can't. They can't.
Oh,
take
right.
The stupid system. But we'll sit there and have coffee. And sometimes the dad. And this last week, I noticed that a dad had come instead of the mum and was sitting with these two mums. I don't chat to them. That's a whole nother show.
Oh yes,
it's a politics thing going
that.
On.
That's more stressful than anything.
Yeah. Well, I did start to talk to them. Then I realised I could be stuck with these every week. And I don't want to be, so I need to make a plan here. Mm. And I just sort of like said, I need to do some work on my phone, and then gradually step back. But then sometimes I regretted it because they talk about really awful things that were just funny, and now I'm not sure. Anyway, but it's just that I was watching them with the dad, and you could just tell they weren't themselves. They were just like, and then like when he went to get a coffee, they were like, oh, do you want us to hold the baby? And it's like normally she just like have the baby on her hip, and it's like, oh, God. But yeah, no, I'm in quite a traditional setting, really. I mean, because at the moment, my husband is the main breadwinner, for want of a better word. I work, I guess, what would be classed as part-time.
Yeah. That's the thing, my husband, neither of us is successful enough to be...
but in your situation,
to be full-time.
Would you say...
We're sort of scraping one You're... full-time crib between yes. us.
We're both scraping as well. But you're sort of, I was going to ask you, like 50-50.
Yeah, we are almost 50-50 with childcare, which is
but would you
properly
say...
unusual. But I think that's, you know...
And are the, you the one that the sorts ideal. It, though, most of the time?
The childcare?
The mental load of the childcare.
Oh, what, sort of organising things? Yeah. Well, we have a thing that whoever's got first onto the calendar,
that's a good
they
point.
Don't have to organise. You know, if you go to the calendar and you want to put something in and there's already yeah. something in, you have to sort the childcare. That's the rule.
That's a good, that's a very yeah. good grown-up rule. Yeah. First come, first serve. Yeah. Running to
it's
the calendar.
Lot, yeah, exactly. A lot of fighting.
Right, yeah, so we didn't... So it's interesting, Gemma, I don't know if you... Because I asked Gemma if she found anything. Like, because obviously, I do wonder, is it going to have any effect on... And I know, Gemma, you one of the reasons you wanted to work for yourself was so you were there to pick him up from school yeah. and nursery and stuff. And yeah. because we all worry, like, oh, but my mum was there to pick me up from school. Is it going to have some kind of long-term effect on them that we're not, or not there full-time?
So I did a little bit of research.
Oh, my gosh.
And, So one study said Oxford University, London School of Economics.
Hello. Citing, she's been on the phone citing, to them
yeah.
this morning.
Oh, yeah, just some people I know. So they did a survey and they say that that a nursery setting is better for a child's development.
Oh, really?
Well, they call it development.
What, than a one-on-one
yes.
childminder?
Right.
But, no. So this is nursery as opposed to stay-at-home oh, parent. Yeah. However, okay. what they say is it is because it is about interaction. That's what it's about. So actually, if you've got mum, if you've got parent and child, and there's lots of activity, lots of interaction, it's the same as going to a nursery.
Right.
But given that nursery, that's what they're
that
there to do,
yeah,
it's that's the thing. However,
okay.
Equally, in another study, stay-at-home mums as an occupation, they are the happiest workers.
Shut
really?
Up.
Yes.
I don't believe that statistic.
No, but you know why? If you can afford to be a stay-at-home
mum,
that's
true. Mum, if you can afford it.
Then you automatically you're more comfortable financially because loads of people would like to be, but just to, you know they don't they literally can't. Financially, so maybe
that's
if you
true.
Can afford to stay at home, I'm surprised as well. I wouldn't have thought that was the happiest job.
Because I would say, as I say, at the moment I've got one day a week where they're both at childcare, and that's meant to be where I'm meant to do all my admin
yeah.
for running three clubs and doing this show and doing lots of other stuff, and then the oldest goes to childminder for a full day, but then I've got the baby on the other day. And so to be honest, I do generally feel like more like a full-time mum.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not that happy. I said on air that I'm not that happy. No.
But I wonder, you know,
I'm struggling
you say,
a bit, is what
well,
I mean.
Yeah, sure. And I'm sure that part of that struggle is you're trying to run three
well, that's
clubs
what I mean.
Exactly.
I'm trying
yes. as well.
If I did, I do.
If you were like, oh, I don't care, yeah. I just want to be a stay-at-home mum and I can afford to be, then that's
yeah.
a different thing when you're actively trying to do something else.
I have to
as
because,
well.
Bless him, you know, my husband, he pays the rent and all the bills, but literally I pay for like most of the food and a lot of the, you know, if kids want extra stuff and all, you know, the gymnastics.
Nappies
and all that. So anyway, yeah, I'm going off. I think we need a palate cleanser. I was going to say a reshuffle, but that's not the right word, is it?
I don't. So, you're going to get rid of us.
Yeah.
Get some other guests in.
Some other mums
who say better things.
Yeah, the mum going past with some babies.
Yes,
we're live here at Soho Radio, I should say. So just to explain, back anno, we did play Twisting My Sobriety by Tanita Kneeram. Have I said it right?
No.
No.
Tikaram.
Tikaram, that's
yeah.
it. I didn't know that because I love her name. And I wasn't meant to play at the top of the show. I love that song. Margaret requested that song. But you can say now why you requested it.
Do you know, I was thinking about... Well, I was saying I was either going to go for something like Lizzo and be super modern or go back to something that really affected me when I was, you know, a young teenager. And I was thinking about how much I loved... that all my female heroes when I was an early teen wore black opaque tights. Yeah, I was thinking about her and how much I loved her look. And she wasn't quite goth. She wasn't doing the full, you know, scary makeup or whatever, but she was really, you know, intense and not sexy, not doing the sexy
thing.
And she seemed like a proper grown-up. I mean, now I look at her, she was only, you know, she's probably like 19 herself. And in fact, I heard an interview with her quite recently where she said, oh, I don't know what I was talking about. You know, she was writing about these really heavy subjects and she's saying, no, I just read too much poetry and didn't know. But I was just thinking, oh, what a great role model for young girls who are a bit scared of sexuality.
Yeah, you know. And going sober.
Just someone being, you know, clever and creative and wearing thick tights.
I don't know a lot about her, but I do know that song. So thank
well,
you.
Well, the other Good Tradition was the bigger hit.
I can't think of that.
This good tradition of love
of
and
course.
Hate. Yeah.
Gemma, we're going to put your one on now. Do you want to introduce it and why you've chose it?
Yeah, so this... Weirdly, I only heard this song a few years ago, and I don't know how I'd got to 36 years without hearing the song. Anyway, so I really love it, and I love the band. And when I first heard it, I used to leave the house listening to it, and as if I was in like a montage of some kind of the beginning of a film. So it's like the soundtrack of me rushing to leave the house and like grabbing a piece of toast and a coffee and like running out the door.
I just think it's a really great. Was it Annie McBeal? No,
it's kind of Annie McBeal, like Sex and the City kind of thing, but in rubbish South London, and getting on a tram rather than walking up Fifth Avenue or whatever.
Oh, that's the show I want to see.
But yes. Yeah. Tram Tales. So yeah, I just that's it. This is do I introduce it? This is Pointer Sisters Automatic.
You're listening to Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. So you are, when you're a radio presenter, don't try and eat dried mango and think you can then talk. It's all stuck in my teeth. You're listening to me, Hattie Ashdown, on the Funny Mummy Show for the Other Woman on Soho Radio Culture Channel, bringing you culture. Today we're talking about childcare with Margaret Caborn-Smith and Gemma Beagley. I thought we'd go on to, basically I just want to talk about losing my purse, which kind of brings...
So you couldn't pay your childcare?
So I couldn't pay my
childcare.
But it does link to a childcare situation.
Okay.
Just bear with me. Have you
what
lost...
a cliffhanger.
I know. Have you ladies ever lost your purse or handbag?
I mean, I've never... Do you know how many times I've got my... got a cash card because it's the previous one has run out? Once.
Yeah.
In my entire life. I've lost all of the others. Yeah.
And you're like issue 28 of a switch cards. Hashtag 90s.
Yeah. I've never had an automated. Yeah. And what, stolen
really
or just lost or?
No, lost usually, yeah.
Lost.
Dropped out of.
Gemma's?
Yeah, but I like to just walk around with stuff in my hands, really. I don't help myself or in pockets rather than getting like a handbag. I'm like, I'll just put it all in pockets and then sit down and then.
Yeah.
Everything falls out. Keys,
phones. Puts it on top of the buggy and it jumps off.
I've got this silly bag at the moment, but I know it's no excuse, but every time I come up the house, I must get a different bag because it's not working out because it's kind of too small. I'm kind of ram it all in because I'm lying to myself that I need a big mum bag. So I'm just still telling myself I just need this little bag.
Yeah.
So that's where I lost the purse, I think. I don't even remember. I was so absent-minded because we were running to go to take my son to his first drama class.
Start him young, Shirley Temple.
I know.
Get them earning.
He's been having a few emotional issues and we thought, like, if you can channel his emotion.
Yeah,
into...
my daughter goes to comedy club and it's been brilliant for her, honestly. School of Comedy. It used to be a Channel 4, an E4 sketch show years ago now.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
What, it's the same people?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It came from the club.
They won't have one in Bixley Heath.
No, no. There's a lot of very posh kids in that club. It's
I
true.
Bet. Well, I've...
My mum was like, all of those names they were reading out.
Really?
It's all, yeah, it's all Casper and
it's
Liberty.
It's always the Pauline Quirk school of... There's always an Avatar's yeah. back of buses around yeah. my way.
Yes.
Pauline Quirk's face.
Pauline is a megalomaniac.
She, you know, someone who just go like she only ever did that one job, and then she rocked up on Broadchurch, like
yeah.
amazing. Went look at her,
yeah,
on Broadchurch.
That should be the slogan for our school. Pauline Quirk, arc at her.
On the back of a bus.
On the back of a bus. And I'm trying to run after and write down a number.
The new Sylvia Young.
Yeah, yeah, I think she is.
Gosh, but so that's round my way somewhere. But we've gone to one that is accredited by, I always want to call it LADA, but it's
LADA.
Yeah. So it was harder than trying to get a place when they've got there's a waiting list, and then it's the first person to pick up the phone to get the place. So I'd missed it like three times, and so we were very lucky. So well, we've got to take him for the trial. Anyway, so we're rushing there. We're late, as always. And he doesn't want to go. I'm trying to explain to him what it is. And you know, anyone listening might be thinking, pushy parent. But honestly, he does love... This is the child that goes, wakes me up and goes, please, mummy, can I watch Macbeth? Like, he loves CBeebies Macbeth. Like, he loves...
He loves CBeebies Theatre, all the theatrical stuff.
So, and he loves making up stories at home. So, and I know that he'll love it once he gets there. And he did used to go tap, so it's...
Come on. He's a triple threat.
He's in the
tap dances.
But he's getting to that age, and I don't know if you, because we've got boys, I've just realised we've got boys of a similar age, where he's confident, but he's starting to get scared of new people and whatever.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on the time. Oh my God, we're running out of time.
My son said, I'm shy on vehicles the other day.
That's
weird.
My son is obsessed with teenagers. Are there going to be any teenagers there?
Oh my God.
I'm like, why? What's wrong? He goes, because they're rude. It's like he's scared of ruining. Are there going to be any teenagers? We go to the doctor. Are there going to be any teenagers there? It's like his thing. Yeah.
I remember going through a teenager phase, but that was because they used to jump in the swimming pool when I was swimming.
They are scary.
They jump on my head.
They are rude. Rude. Jumping on your head. Beyond rude.
Vehicles. So he just says, oh, I'm scared of people, just generally.
Okay.
He screamed it on a bus before when someone tried to sit next to him on a bus.
No, but that is terror.
That is awful.
I'm scared of people. So I'm trying to say to him, we're going to this play group today, and it's like, you know, like Macbeth CBeebies, you'll be able to like do that. And I'm trying to explain this on the bus, and you know what's happening? I'm not focused because we're late, and... because we're running out of time, I'm not going to give the whole thing. I realised later when I drop him off, and I couldn't believe he went in okay.
Yeah.
I was like, whew, phew. And I've gone, got an hour and a half, mate. Hour and a half class. I'm going to have a coffee. I walk down the road. Purse has gone.
Oh, God.
Did you have to beg for a coffee?
No. I just had to wait in the playground because they use this boys' school. I just had a bit of water out one of those fountains. You know, like you have in schools.
Tragic tale.
The boys weeing, probably. And I traced my steps back. And then next day, I phoned up the London buses. And, they'd found it. So I had this funny chat. I went, it's blue and black. What's your name? She went, no, it's not here. She went, wait a minute. What's your name again? She went, oh, we've got it down as green and black. I was like, oh, God. Like, it's a bluey green.
They've got one purse.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, we've got a green and black Hattie Ashdown.
Yeah. So, there's loads of Hattie Ashdowns, to be fair. Yeah. Come on.
So she says, I've got to go all the way to Plumstead Bus Garage. You've always got to go miles away. And so I get on the bus. The next day, I've got better things to be doing. I've got to take my baby for a morning's trip out all the way to Blooming Plumstead and back. But it was worth it. I got there to the lost property. While I'm here, have a chat.
And I thought you meant you were going to take some stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I know. That's mine.
It's a new side to you.
Like a jumble.
And I said, what's the weirdest thing you've had handed in? She went, well, just had a Hoover today. And I said, what? And I could see it. And I went, I need a new Hoover.
Yeah.
And then I said, no, what's the maddest thing? She went, a baby.
Yeah.
And I went, what? And she went, a newborn baby.
And what?
She said, the woman said that apparently it was her second child. I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough, I'm out. No. She was like, so, you know, she said, you know, I wasn't used to having the second one. I thought, I'm sorry, there's no excuse. Like, you don't leave a new...
She just accidentally left.
Yeah. And it, oh my God. And I said, what was the first thing she did? And she said she came there to Lost Property. I was like, I would have called the police straight away.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, so she came there straight away. And I said, did she seem very distressed? She was like, well, yeah, sort of. And I was thinking, mums and dads, free childcare, everyone.
and buses. Perfect.
If you're looking for free childcare.
Have a look around, see if there's someone who looks kind.
Yeah.
And then leave the baby there.
Because I said, oh, was it in like a car seat? Not that this makes it any better, but maybe like she'd put it down. Mm. And, you know, you are in a daze when you first...
Yeah, my brother-in-law left one in the back seat of the car once with the rest of the family. They followed my sister into Blockbuster.
Did he leave a window open?
Where's the baby? And he sort of, you know, went completely white, ran back to the car. But that was their third kid, so obviously not keeping track. Well, Blockbuster video, that gives you a clue. But actually, it must have been in the dying days at Blockbuster.
Because he's only six.
He's six? Yeah, so...
Yeah, I mean, I've heard story of people saying, oh, I left in the shoe shop for literally a second I walked out, blah, blah, blah. But on a bus. And it wasn't in a car seat. It was in a pram, which to me is like, how can you
forget? Miss your pram? We were once on a bus and, you know, the buses used to have open backs, you know, as in with no door on, you know.
Route master.
Pauline Quirk put a post on that.
Our buggy, my mum's double buggy, it went round a roundabout, flew off because we were upstairs.
Kate Livingston was the madman, apparently, that got rid of them because they were unsafe.
I know,
but they came back and then have they gone again? Because they've
just got doors on now.
They've got doors. Well,
but there's that whole fight between Boris and Ken, wasn't there, about it?
Yeah.
Because the bendy buses. Yeah, West Ken and I got on one. But yeah, they have doors now. You're right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Just hanging about in West Ken.
The worst of the Kens, to be fair.
Yeah, don't show off about that. The westest of the Kens. Oh my God.
Funny Mummies, the parenting show for people that hate parenting shows.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!
We've got about 10 minutes and we can either do...
Take control, Hattie. Go on, what are we going to do?
We can either do...
Just tell us.
A regular
tell us what
thing
we're doing.
I feel like it's going to be a downer to end on, though. The sod it thing. We have a feature of something which can be quite quick, something that we've all sort of been putting off. It can be something you've been putting off or something really big or small that you've done. You just got it done.
Yeah.
Or some woman that you want to big up.
I've got a woman I'd like to pick up.
Let's do both of them then quickly.
Okay. The woman I'd like to pick up is Philippa Perry. Oh. She's Grace and Perry's wife, but she's a woman. You know, she's a person in her own rights. She's a psychotherapist and she has written a book called The Book You Wish Your Parents Had Read. And it's really, really good.
Oh, I've heard about this.
And I would read it now. I really regret, I'm really sad that I didn't read it sooner because I feel like I've ruined my 10-year-old. And it's honestly changed my whole view of parenting.
Oh my God.
And also the best thing about it is that she's not into making you feel bad about anything.
Of course not.
But you know, she's like, if you feel like you haven't done this, then it's all about the repair. It's about rupture and repair. The book you wish your parents had read.
Right. Big up.
Big her up.
Gemma,
she's
got
amazing.
Anyone you women?
I haven't well, got any, just, by the way. Well, no, I mean, I just you know what, any woman just who any just woman. gets up and just, yeah, exactly. Mental Health Awareness Week.
Oh, yes.
We had a lovely thing at work yesterday. So my HR department trying to push, that's not fair. I'm forcing it on people. But mental health first aid at work, if you imagine what that is. So we just had this open afternoon. They said, come along, find out about it. 20 people sat around the table. 19 women, one man. And so shout out to women who are, you know, there to who are willing to listen to other people and help.
Well,
and aren't scared to be vulnerable.
Yeah, I did a show the other day. We were sort of sitting around in the green room and I was thinking, this is good. I don't think this would have happened a few years back. It was all women talking. The men were just sort of listening and the topics were all about anxiety and breastfeeding and the menopause and this stuff that I was like, not so long ago, this would be being whispered about in the corner while the men railed against whatever, you know. And I was thinking, this is really, really change, positive. Yeah. It's really good. And she's saying that the one who'd started the conversation about anxiety, she was saying, when I started out, I was terrified to tell anyone because I thought it would ruin my career. And she said, now I tell people, oh, yeah, no, I struggle with anxiety.
I'm sure it felt a good. Lot of old people would be like, oh, people are too open these days.
Yeah.
But I think people are a lot more open these days, and maybe it's because of things like this, like podcasts and things.
Yeah,
and people just I agree. I think it's a blooming good thing. I went round a new mum's. I say new. I've known her for about a year now. The house the other day. I've never heard her like it. She's really open with me about the sex life and that. And I came home to Alex and I said, I don't know why she is different. I think it's because she came and saw me do stand up. So she's sitting outside of me.
Yeah, she feels like she knows.
Not that I talk about sex on stage or anything, but I was like, it was so liberating. And but men, it is annoying.
Who is that? I mean, big up that one man. But who big up, don't.
Yeah, yeah, sure, for sure. Yes. That, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, and funny on that note, my combining the two things, my sod it was going to be that I rebooked my therapist.
Very good.
Who I have stopped seeing. And then I was like, sod it. You've been putting it off and going, no, I don't need her. And I got her back in my life. And it's all great because she's brilliant. She's
I'm like doing a wellbeing group. Yeah, a six-week course with her, and I'm thinking.
Oh, Gemma, you love a course.
Material alone. Material alone, it's got to be good. Well, doing a sort of group therapy with a bunch of other loonies like me.
And is there mostly women on that?
I would have thought so. I haven't started it yet.
Right. But you can report back.
But the woman. Oh no! No! It's fine. It's her job. Like, she's called Penny Chu. Can you believe that? I mean, she's Penelope Chu, but she calls herself Penny Chu. And I was like, is this a joke? This isn't a great joke.
It does sound like some stand-up character you write when you do a stand-up course.
Exactly. And not really a very good one.
Like an offensive. What was mine? When I did my stand-up course, and mine was called Olive Ulay. Olive Ulay, yeah, I think. I mean, it's
that's
not
weird.
That
great. Olive Ulay.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
It sounds like it's something, though, doesn't it?
No, it was
an anagram, maybe.
Something like Olive that. I've got it. Probably got it wrong.
Olive Ulay.
Oh God, we've got to wrap up.
Boo.
What's the time? Okay, we've got a second. So, anything you want to big up, ladies? Apart from just you can big up yourself. Or anyone else?
I've already
anything
done
you want to promote?
I am in a play called Brexit. Starting in.
Are you in that with Jessica Foster Q?
Yes, I am in that with Jessica Foster Q. Another.
When's it out?
Funny Mummy. It's through June. Yeah, it's June and early July, I think.
Oh, where's it going to be on?
That's on at the King's Head in North London.
Oh.
So, yeah, not so far from
Soho
Radio.
Who's written that?
Tom Selinsky and Robert Kahn.
Phew! Well done. Not women, but we'll let it pass.
Yeah.
Gemma?
No, anything promote? Nothing.
Just, or anyone else?
Just promote your well-being and your life.
Cool.
Yeah.
Promote yourself to everyone. And I'm going to be a promo whore and obviously promote Screaming with Laughter, Lunchtime Comedy Club, where you can bring your baby. And because I've got a show, I've got loads of shows, but particularly Underbelly on the 13th of July, I have to sell a lot of tickets.
It's a big
300-seater.
Brilliant.
We sold about 100 for the first one with Josie and me. And then the second one on the 13th of July, we've got Scummy Mummies and Darren Walsh. And guys, just come. It's blooming great.
Scummy Mummies are great.
We had a great show yesterday with Ellie Taylor, and I've had some of the best response from mummies, just like going, oh, I've got to go now and pick up my kids from nursery with wine breath. Bye. And it's like, that's what I want. That's all my work here is done. So, and it is done here. So, thanks very much, ladies.
Pleasure.
Flew by, as always. I hope you mums out there look after yourselves.
Yeah.
And let's all just remember that the world is a little bit better now. We don't have to watch Jeremy Kyle
anymore.
Bring back Trisha.
Why not?
My first
Vanessa
thought
even.
Was, yes. Of course, my first thought was, "Hello, moi, a show that won't be bullying the guests." What should we end on? It's going to be Doris because she Doris Day died recently at the grand age of 97. She's very close. I just grew up with my mum playing her all the time. So obviously it made me think of my... I feel weird saying late mother, but well, she was late. She was always late for everything.
And, late in every sense of the word.
So we've got, I've chosen some more unknown ones of hers, which is, I enjoy, oh no, let's do this one. It's called Control Yourself. So let's control ourselves. Have a lovely rest of the day, evening, whenever you're listening to this. You're listening to Funny Mummies on Soho Radio.
Yourself, contain yourself, restrict yourself, restrain yourself, and always let tranquility be your goal. Control yourself, contain yourself, and if you can.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown, in association with Screaming with Laughter for the Other Woman radio show on Soho Radio. Thanks to all my guests and panel today, and edited and produced by Charlotte Kingston. We'll be back every month for another dose of Mum and Tonic.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!